Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? I don't know why that makes me laugh so much, but it does. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. It's Monday, October 21st, and week 7 almost in the books. Of course, we have two Monday night games tonight. So, yeah, I know how much people love that, but I don't mind it. Yeah, don't mind it that much. And honestly, I think we're going to keep seeing it more and more because Disney's getting the ratings they want. But anyway, let's recap all the action from around the NFL yesterday. It was a wild day. And I don't think it got off to necessarily a wild start in England, but it was a very, very interesting game, obviously, between the Jaguars and the New England Patriots. The Jaguars took it to them, so Doug Peterson, he's going to be in place for just a little bit longer. I still think that ultimately he's going to lose that job when it's all said and done. But the story of this game on the Jacksonville side was Tank Bigsby. No Travis Etienne. Bigsby goes out 26 for 118 and 2. That's way better than we've seen Travis Etienne do in a while. I don't know, man. If I have Bigsby, I'm holding. Yes, Etienne's going to have a role when he gets back from injury, and that could be, you know, really quickly. But this may be a situation like we saw with the New York Giants, and I'll get into that in a little bit. Brian Thomas continuing to roll. He is so stinking good. Christian Kirk, I think, you know, this is what I expect out of him. Like, and this is a game where they only threw the ball 20 times. But in those games, he just won't get enough volume to be fantasy relevant. He needs volume because he doesn't have a ton of big play upside. Evan Ingram was fine here too. Over to the other side, Drake May played well. Like, he's fine. It's just they have no weapons. Two of their top receivers left the game. You have Hunter Henry, and we'll talk about Hunter Henry in waivers. I don't know if he'll be a top 10 guy. He might be. 8 for 92 is pretty good in this game. And if you're panicking about Ramondre, like, Antonio Gibson did get banged up here, and not every game is going to be good, but we've seen Ramondre, he's like very hit or miss. He's either going to be really good or really bad, and there's really anything in between, and that's kind of the ride we're going to be on for the rest of the season. But really like how Drake May looked. Moving on to Seattle and Atlanta, first and foremost, does not seem like a significant injury for DK Metcalf. He was initially carted off, but then he walked, so that was a positive sign. He did bounce back in this one. Sucks if you're in a 100-point bonus or 100-yard bonus league, that is. He went 4 for 99, but scored the touchdown. Still a good game. Kenneth Walker played through illness. And I know a lot of people freaked out about the illness on Saturday. And I gave this advice on my SiriusXM show today, but I want to reiterate the advice. And I realize some people listen to this podcast who don't listen to that show. But here's the advice. I figured out the secret to fantasy football. And it's so silly. Like, I made a whole joke of it today. I'm not going to do that here, but it's don't freak out. And like, really, honestly, and that doesn't mean like freak out in a bad way. Like, yeah, don't do that. Don't get angry over stuff because anger isn't going to lead to good fantasy play. But it's also like, I have people come to me all the time. And they're like, I'm so worried. I'm so nervous. And it's like, hey, it's fantasy football. It's nothing to be, you know, nervous about. It's nothing to be worried about. And really that's kind of freaking out as well. Like, people were freaking out over Kenneth Walker, and it's like, just have a plan in place in case he doesn't go. Like, obviously right now that plan is Zach Charbonnet. Like, if you have Zach Charbonnet on a roster, even if you don't have Walker, there's no way I'm getting rid of this dude, because Charbonnet would have been a borderline top 12 guy if Walker didn't go. Now, he did go, but Charbonnet still played more snaps. So there's a lot of things in play there to, you know, keep in mind. But Walker was fine, 14 for a very nice 69 and a touchdown, scored a touchdown as a pass catcher as well, 2 for 24. Noah Fant trending up a little bit there. Moving to the other side, Kyle Pitts has been quite good over the last 3 weeks, if you're paying attention. Drake London has been good pretty much all season. He's a wide receiver 2+, scored in this one 6 for 63. And Bijan, again, people were freaking out over one game over Tyler Algier. And look, Algier goes into the background again, and Bijan is so excellent. This is what we drafted him for. 103 and 1 as a runner, 3 for 40 as a pass catcher. Thank you. Kirk Cousins wasn't the greatest game, but there's still plenty of upside there with him, surprisingly enough, because of the way this offense runs. Tennessee-Buffalo, there really isn't much on the Tennessee side. We do know that Will Levis is being called week to week, so we'll probably get some more Mason Rudolph. He was not able to get much going here whatsoever in the passing game. And really, Tony Pollard couldn't do much either, despite volume. And I'm not going to hold that against him. He had 18 touches here, 65 scrimmage yards. it was just a bad script across the board for them. To the other side, well, Amari Cooper only ran 11 routes, but he was targeted on five of them, and his first catch was a touchdown, 4 for 66 and a touchdown. And it looked like, you know, kind of he brought Josh to life a little bit. You know, Josh Allen goes 323 and 2, and he didn't do much on the ground because he didn't have to because it was a blowout. Keon Coleman, 4 for 125. He's got a little bit of Gabe Davis profile to him right now. I know. 7 for 65 for Khalil Shakir, though. As Cooper gets more integrated, I do think Shakir's routes are what are really going to go down. James Cook scored as a runner. So did Ray Davis. Ray Davis looked a little better, though. I think situationally he was in some better spots than Cook, so I'm not going to hold that against him. Wasn't a great game for Cook, but, you know, it could have been a disaster had he not scored, and it wasn't. Let's move on to Cincinnati-Cleveland. Okay, so Deshaun Watson is confirmed. The Achilles is ruptured. He will be out for the remainder of the season. And as of right now, so Dorian Thompson-Robinson was the backup, which was a little surprising. I thought Jameis would be the backup. DTR ends up getting hurt as well, though the reports are that it is not a significant injury. X-ray is negative on the middle finger. So will he be the starter or Jameis? I'm going to do more work on that before tomorrow because Jameis got in. He was the emergency third quarterback, so the new rule was helpful for the Browns. He threw a touchdown pass, so there is at least that. Njoku caught it. Huge game for him. 14 targets, 10 for 76 and a score. Hopefully this is, you know, the sign of things to come with Amari Cooper out of the mix. But surprisingly, it wasn't Judy. It wasn't Elijah Moore, although Elijah Moore was fine, 6 for 41. It was Cedric Tillman, 8 for 81, 12 targets, second on the team in routes run. Only Jerry Judy ran more. Nick Chubb got on the field, scored a touchdown, generally, though, was lackluster. He didn't have a lot of volume, but he was lackluster because of the overall state of the team, and I think that's something to keep in mind. We may be looking at Nick Chubb as more of a flex option going forward just because the team is not good, and it's seemingly getting worse by the week. To the other side, Higgins, Chase, all good. Both scored touchdowns. Wasn't a huge game for Chase, but when you go 5 for 55 and a touchdown, that's fine. Chase Brown is clearly ahead of Zach Moss now as the early down back. He wasn't great here either, but he has 17 touches in this game. Zach Moss ends up with 9. And Moss is more of the passing down back, so it's kind of a role reversal of what maybe we expect coming into the season. Houston and Green Bay. Green Bay, man, coming back. A lot of fight in them. Jordan Love throwing 3 touchdown passes in this one. They go to Dontavian Wicks. Why not? They go to Josh Jacobs, who shockingly had never had one before. Like, how is it even possible? And then Tucker Kraft on a beautiful diving reception. But I think the story for me is really Romeo Doubs. He has 10 targets. Next highest was Wicks with 6, 8 for 94. Last week had the touchdowns. This week has the volume. He has been the every down wide receiver. He's the lone every down wide receiver. And now it looks like that's finally catching up in terms of his volume. He's definitely trending up. Not worried about Jaden Reed that much here, though it wasn't an encouraging performance. But he's boom or bust. To the other side, don't worry too much about CJ Stroud. Every quarterback can run into a buzzsaw. He ran into one here. Don't overthink this thing. And yeah, we're 1 week closer now to Nico Collins being back. And obviously that's the thing that's missing here. But Joe Mixon was just fine. 25 for 115 and 2. Caught 2 balls for 9 yards as well. He was a monster. And he's going to keep being a monster as long as he's healthy. Why I have to preface it that way is because he is an older back. And he's seeing a lot of volume. So just be aware of that. You know, if I have him and I'm not in a silly short bench league, then I'm probably going to make sure I have Damian Pierce on that roster as well. Miami in Indianapolis. I want to start with Miami, and the news actually isn't out of the game. Tua Tagovailoa has been designated to return from injured reserve. Cool. I know people are going to say about like next concussion. All right, fine. The team sucks without him on offense. It's pretty apparent. Snoop Huntley was banged up in this game, so we got Tim Boyle. I mean, it's bad. And there are bright spots. Like, Devon Achane looked good. He actually, you know, he had a run call back, but overall, like, 5.1 yards per carry, 15 for 77. Like, you need the quarterback in here. And also, keep in mind, Jonnu Smith, I know a lot of people are going to points chase with him, 7 for 96 and a touchdown. That was with backup quarterbacks in. Tua doesn't look to the tight end very much, so I don't know how sustainable that is. To the other side, Anthony Richardson is a complete liability. It is unfortunate. And, you know, my advice is going to continue to be the same. I still believe in his ceiling, but I also am aware of his floor. And this game was a lot closer to his floor. He had 14 for 56 as a runner, 10 of 29 for, or 24, that is, for 129. Yikes. Wow, is that not good. I really don't know what they do from here. The advice is going to be the same, though, for fantasy. Start him at your own risk. If you can't handle a game like this, don't start a dude like that. If you want the upside and you can handle a game like this, you can start him, but that's where we are. I don't know what they do from here. Moving on to the next game. One of the games of the week, I guess the Green Bay Houston was the other one, but Minnesota and Detroit, these two teams look like, this look like a, two Super Bowl teams to me. And it's a shame that only one has, you know, only one is going to make it out of the NFC, and it may not be either of them, although they look like the two favorites right now. The Lions were awesome. Jared Goff against a fantastic defense was near perfect yet again. I'm marveling at Jared Goff right now. Wasn't the biggest fantasy day, but he goes 280 and two. David Montgomery was banged up, so keep an eye on him. Jahmyr Gibbs took advantage of that. You know, some people are like, oh, Montgomery fumbled. Yeah, okay, whatever. But he was also dealing with a knee injury where he was hobbling off the field. Gibbs has a signature game here. Amon-Ra has a signature game. Laporta is a prime example of why we should not draft tight ends early. The other prime example is Travis Kelce. I mean, both dudes who went early are not giving you enough value. Write it down. Try and look for the wheelhouse. The wheelhouse was not perfect this year, but I am so happy with George Kittle. I definitely do not mind Kyle Pitts whatsoever. I know Mark Andrews didn't hit, but Trey McBride was even in it. So 3 out of 4 compared to 0 out of 2. Not too shabby. Moving over to the other side, Jefferson was awesome. Darnold was really good here too. This was not a Darnold blow-up game. Like, he had an interception. Okay, not a big deal. 22 of 27 for 259 and a score. Aaron Jones had that early touchdown run, went 14 for 93 and a touchdown. He looked pretty good playing through, apparently, the injury. Had 17 touches and went over 100 scrimmage yards yet again. Philly and the Giants. Well, the story of this game was certainly Saquon Barkley, 176 on the ground and a touchdown on 17 carries. Chipped in a couple catches for 11 yards, but he got his revenge. He was phenomenal in this game, and the Eagles didn't have to do much in the passing game. Fortunately, A.J. Brown got his, 5 for 89 in the score. Devontae Smith didn't. Better games, closer games will be ahead. Jalen Hurts with 2 touchdowns. In a game where he only threw the ball 14 times, he still manages a very good fantasy day because he put up 14.2 as a runner. Over to the other side, I mentioned Tyrone Tracy is clearly ahead of Singletary, and I do not think this has anything to do with the injury. He is the better player. Now, this wasn't a good game. That's for the Giants as a whole, but 37 snaps for him, 12 for Singletary. I like Tyrone Tracy. Daniel Jones was briefly, well, not briefly, it was for basically almost the fourth quarter, the entire fourth quarter, benched for Drew Locke, but apparently he is still the starter. I don't know how long that lasts. Malik Nabers' better days will be ahead for him as well, so not freaking out there. Vegas and the Rams, we had 2 stars in this game, fortunately. Kyren Williams is awesome, 2 rushing touchdowns, extending his streak, and 76 rushing yards. He was just so stinking good. And on the other side, so stinking good was Brock Bowers, 10 for 93. A lot of people were asking me on my SiriusXM show today, is he the best tight end in football? And my answer is, no, sorry. It's still George Kittle. I mean, George Kittle's been awesome. He's been so good. Brock Bowers might be number 2, though, right now. And that's like overall play. I'm not talking about fantasy. I'm just talking about tight end-wise. He's so good. Alexander Mattison is a clear lead back. Just do yourself this favor and just say to yourself over and over, Zamir White, I will not pick him up. He is not going to be a thing. Like, it's over. And I'm sorry to anybody out there who drafted him. Like I kept saying, I try to put him low enough on my board. I gotta make an effort. Maybe there's like a red flag logo or something like that, like a little like a icon that I can put on my draft boards. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what I can do. But definitely was not interested in him. I have 0 shares of him. But unfortunately, it seems like some people who use my draft boards did get shares of him. Yikes. So Alexander Mattison, though, we'll talk about him tomorrow for sure. Otherwise, Cooper Kupp is expected back for Thursday, and we'll see what he ends up doing in that one. I know some people are complaining about Jordan Whittington. I don't think there was anything nefarious by the Rams. I think he got out there and didn't feel right. You know, you can't tell how you're going to feel in a game until the game starts. You just can't simulate it. Panthers, Washington. Okay, Jaden Daniels left the game very early with a ribs issue, but everything seems okay as of right now. I don't know if that means he's going to play this upcoming week, but Marcus Mariota, if he doesn't go, then Mariota is going to be fantasy relevant. So we'll see what ends up happening, because it wasn't a bad game for Mariota. It's just like the Panthers are not good and the Commanders are, you know, they're good and they just took it to a bad team here. Brian Robinson scoring a touchdown. McLaurin's still doing his thing. Didn't get to 100 yards, but 6 for 98 is really good. On the other side, I don't know how much longer they can do the Andy Dalton thing. Like, it worked in the beginning and it gave him a little spark, but why not just use Bryce Young? You know, I why not just see what you have? Because as of now, you're careening towards the number one overall pick. We'll see what they end up doing. Not worried about Deontay Johnson, though. I think he'll bounce back. This was just an ugly, ugly, ugly game. Kansas City, San Francisco. All right, speaking of ugly, so we had a few of these situations this week, and two of them in this game where players got out, they were active, and then they barely played, and then were declared out of the game. Juju Smith-Schuster on the Kansas City side and Deebo Samuel on the San Francisco side. As far as Juju was concerned, Kansas City didn't do anything wrong, and like I said, he got out there, he re-aggravated it, and that's it, just sort of like Jordan Whittington. For Deebo, it was an illness, and that was not reported. So that one is a little suspect, because as we saw with Kenneth Walker, his illness was reported, and then he ended up playing through it, but being limited somewhat. I don't know what's going on there, but whatever. I'm not here to make accusations. Let's talk on the San Francisco side first. A lot of backups out there, which was not fun. You know, Ricky Pearsall, Jacob Cowing, Chris Conley, Ronnie Bell, Biv DeVoe. Like, it was not optimal. At least Kittle was there, 6 for 92. He's awesome. Brandon Ayuk left the game. I bury the lead a little bit. It is believed to be a torn ACL. I do not have reporting yet as of right now. Oh, I do have reporting on Juju, by the way, and I'll get to him in a minute. So, Juwan Jennings is going to have a bigger role. He didn't play in this one, but he's going to have a bigger role. He's going to be one of the top ads of the week. To all the people who had him and then dropped him, he's back in the mix here. Even if he doesn't play this upcoming week, he'll still have value going forward. And then from there, it probably will be Pearsall. He played 26 snaps. Like, he ran 26 routes. I'm sorry. He ran as many routes as George Kittle. So, and Jordan Mason did what he could. I mean, he ran hard in this one against a good defense, and, you know, they just couldn't muster much, unfortunately. Over to the other side, you know, Patrick Mahomes is a quarterback too. Another reason, you know, like, he was talking about not drafting tight ends early. Well, here's a reason to not draft quarterbacks early, because if you miss, you're stuck with Patrick Mahomes. Can you really drop him? How do you feel about that? You know, I said this also. This is another thing I said on the radio show today, and here I'll say to you as well. To the version of you, if you happen to draft him, and where'd you draft him? Fourth round in a one quarterback league? To the version of you who did that in August, imagine you could go back in time, hop in the DeLorean, go back in time, and tell that version of you, you're going to be considering dropping him before Halloween. First and foremost, you wouldn't have believed it, but it's true. And I don't see it changing. Like, I don't think there's any huge power move they can make in terms of a trade that will really change the dynamics here. This is how the team is content to win games. Kareem Hunt, yet again, not very good by my eyes, except I will say the second touchdown run was really nice. He was churning after contact. He did a lot of the work there, shows some power, but generally speaking, he's just so slow. And he goes 22 for 78, back-to-back games under 4 yards per carry. I don't know. My spidey senses are continuing to tingle here. We'll see if Clyde Edwards-Helaire can give him a run for his money. I don't think so. And, you know, I'm not saying, oh, I would never start Kareem Hunt. Like, I had him as an RB2. You know, mid-range RB2, and in fact, he gave that value back, plus some with the touchdowns, but I don't know. I feel like this is a sell-high window on him. All right, final game on the list, New York Jets, Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, let's start on the Jets side. Aaron Rodgers got his guy, and his guy played basically the entire game, and he targeted him 9 times, but Davante Adams only caught 3 for 30. Garrett Wilson, I actually thought this was very good. You could see Rodgers is still going to look his way plenty, and Wilson is not going to leave the field. He ran 40 routes, 5 for 61 on 9 targets. Breece was really the lone bright spot, though. 6 for 103 as a pass catcher. That's so good. And then 12 for 38, but the touchdown is a runner, so it ends up being a monster game for Breece. Gotta love that right there. I don't think this is beyond repair. I think that as they get Adams, you know, integrated more, there's going to be plenty of fantasy value here. Don't run away from this thing yet. Don't freak out. Let's see how this looks in the next couple weeks as Adams becomes more integrated. Over to the other side, people thought I was crazy when I said, hey, Russ has a chance to be the starter here. He was the starter, and guess what? He was pretty stinking good as the starter. He goes 264 and 2. It was not a good start, but once he got rolling, he dropped a bucket ball into George Pickens, awaiting arms. Pickens makes a nice play on the ball. He made a couple nice plays on balls. Like, he's so good. And got him going, you know, and then it really started to go from there. 5 for 111 and a score for Pickens. He had Darnell Washington involved. He had Pat Freiermuth going a little bit. He threw a touchdown to Van Jefferson. When does that happen? So Russ looked pretty good. And this looks like it's Russ's job going forward. He also scored a rushing touchdown. Najee Harris up over 100 yards for back-to-back games here as well. Hey, I mean, I'm sorry for the Justin Fields folks, but, you know, if you've listened all along, and chances are if you subscribe to this podcast, you probably have been listening all along. Haven't I been talking about this? And I don't want to toot my own horn or anything. It was obvious. Like, I'm not a genius at this crap. The team made it clear they were not fully in on Justin Fields. Teams will tell us stuff sometimes. We just have to listen. All right, that's going to do it for today. Tomorrow we'll be back. We'll recap the 2 Monday night games, give you some of the latest injury info, and there's going to be a lot of it, and give you the top 10 waiver ads. I already have 30 players in the waiver wire tool over at ftnfantasy.com, so go check it out. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. NBA is coming too, obviously starts tomorrow, so we'll have plenty of NBA stuff at ftnfantasy.com as well. Great time to be alive, isn't it? At Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. Man, enjoy this Monday night. Two games. I don't mind it. I don't mind it. All right, that does it for me. I will catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.